Hello, everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith. He's Derek Terry. Derek, we have a football mailbag episode coming your way.
We do, and a little preview, a little two for one, because we are almost 24 hours from kickoff as we recorded this.
And it's coming.
45 minutes from noon, okay?
24 hours and 45 minutes, right?
There you go. Almost right at 24 hours. So, looking forward to getting into this mailbag. I actually clicked off your tweet, so I'm going to go back to the football one. But I'm happy. I know people who listen to this podcast have to be thrilled that, you know, football's here. If you were like me and you watched a little bit of college football last night, let's, you know, give props to that Tennessee crowd last night, Sean. My brother was there. I give a shout to my brother and one of my good friends, Ryan. Ryan is a Tennessee fan, but had season tickets, had a extra ticket, took my brother, and you could hear that crowd on TV. It was awesome to see. Minnesota game as well. So I think I wanted to start this pod, I guess, just by talking about that, Sean. Like, last year you had these, like, group of five games. You had some lower level college football games, and I just never really felt like it was real last year, you know what I mean?
No.
And last night, seeing it felt real again, so I'm really happy now. And I think fans tomorrow to get in that stadium to see, I don't know how many people are actually gonna end up at the game tomorrow at Kroger Field, but this is I'm really excited after watching some football last night.
Your brother's Instagram story had me rolling last night.
I haven't seen it. I don't get on Instagram very much.
It was the Tennessee band forming the T, and he just put, "I'm in hell."
He didn't even tell me he was. I just saw him. He Snapchatted me, and he was drinking somewhere, and he had the Tennessee checkerboard, banner or whatever they call them on Snapchat filters. And I was like, wait, I think he might be down there. So I didn't know he was going until late yesterday. But I'm sure for him, he'll be at the Missouri game here for UK in a couple of weeks. So I'm sure him and Ryan had a good time last night.
Let's start this off. A question for you from Trey. Derek Terry, over or under 225 passing yards a game this year?
225, as I said.
Yeah.
That's just a shout out, Trey. Good friend of mine. that would put him right about 3,000 yards. I've said that, you know, minimum they need to get to 2,500. I'm going to say it's a little bit under this. I'm going to put them around the 2,700 range. So I'd say it's more likely that they average around like 215. Yeah, I'd put them at 2,795. So I'm going to take the under on that. What would you say, Sean?
I'm going to go over.
Yeah, it's not that big of a difference, either. We're talking like a couple hundred yards. So, I mean,
well, I think that Levis is going to have one of those games where there's going to have to be a shootout with throwing the ball a lot. And I think that he's going to have a game. I'm going to say he has a game.
Did you read Kyle Tucker's story today?
I have not read it yet. I haven't.
Man, they have like not toned down the hype for Levis at all.
They haven't.
I think this is the most I've seen a UK quarterback get before he took a snap.
Honestly. Well, I texted you yesterday when they named him team captain.
Yes.
And that, I'm telling you, that stands out to me a lot, Derek. And I know you wrote about it yesterday. And I think we had the same thought when we saw it. And you go back and you look, and you know, a listener to this podcast, they said that, you know, usually that's just a thing that they do with the quarterbacks. And that is not just at Kentucky, though. That's a thing that across the board, your quarterback's supposed to be your leader. But when you look at the Stoops tenure, their quarterback hasn't been the captain very much. But it's even more wild to me that it's a transfer that didn't get on campus until the summer. And he's already won the locker room over enough to be named a team captain. I think the guy's going to be really freaking good. I'm just going ahead and throwing it out there. I'm not shying away from it either, Derek, because there's so much hype that there's something there that makes this staff that has been a little bit conservative on at times about really they pump the brakes a lot. Stoops does. They have not pumped the brakes with this at all. Nobody has.
No. I mean, you win the competition 9 days in. You, like you said, get named a team captain. You already know you have the tools. I mean, we've seen him. You could see the tools even when he's at Penn State in those videos of the games that he played. So I wouldn't be surprised if I mean, you'll know by midseason, and I'm not saying you'll know how good he's ended up being, because, I mean, ideally he's going to be the starter for you next year as well, and you would hope whatever he takes from this year he can only build on. But, man, if he looks good those first four games and you go into that Florida game and you feel like he can put up some points and they actually go out there and do that, then I think, I mean, sky's the limit. Also in The Athletic, I mean, they had a mock fantasy football draft. Someone had Levis going in the fourth round, and they were basically saying, like, Kentucky wants to throw the ball. Levis has the tools. Penn State did not use him as a passing quarterback. Like, with Liam Cohen there, if it clicks, you could kind of have a steal. And I could see that being the case. Yes. So, back to Trey's question. I've been saying 2,500 needs to be the minimum. I'll say wouldn't be stunned if it goes above 3,000, but I think, I mean, that's a huge jump, though, from where they've been. Mm-hmm. So, I'll say around 215 a game will be a really good jump from where they've been.
And you got to throw in Chris Rodriguez as well. I mean,
they're still going to run the ball a lot. Yeah.
Ben has two football questions here. If you could have any single player from Stoops' tenure to be on this team, who would it be and why? Josh Allen for me.
Yeah. It's hard to not pick the best defensive player of our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, if they would have had an offense that year that could pass the ball and do some things.
Might have won 11 games.
They won the Texas A&M game for sure.
Yeah.
Josh Allen adds a win or two to your season with the impacts that he can make on defense. That's why I would throw him in there. And then you already have a really good running back in C-Rod that you don't want to – I mean, Benny's Benny, but you don't want to change those out. I would go for a guy that's a definite difference maker in wins.
Yeah, these two are not on the same level at all, because one was obviously a top 10 pick, generational best defensive player. But it was a childhood favorite of mine, and I thought he was a hell of a college football player. I think someone like Trevard Lindley at corner, where that's a little bit of a area that Kentucky needs some help. I thought he, until later in his career when he got injured a little bit, I mean, he was as good as any SEC corner in his time at UK. So he wouldn't be the first guy I took, but I'm just trying to think of, like, where does UK need some help? What players were good at those positions? And I think Trevard's as good as any corner I've seen at Kentucky. I know he didn't get drafted as high as the guys like Lonnie Johnson and, Eccles and Kelvin Joseph, but I think he was just as good of a player. Those guys, if not better, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And then Ben's next question, what would be your hottest, realest takes you can come up with for the football season? What I mean by is I know we stand 0% chance of beating Georgia, but I mean, I think you two could make cases for 11-1. That would be my hottest take. I had them 10-2 in our preview. I'm going to write my preview today and put it up on the site and send it out. But I still think it's 9-3. But if I'll tell you, I'll say this: if they start 4-0 and they find a way to beat Florida at Kroger Field, I could see them going 11-1, because I could see them, if depending on how LSU is, and I'm really interested in seeing how LSU is this weekend. They could beat LSU and lose to Georgia and win the rest of those games. But I still feel like Kentucky is going to lose a game that they should not lose. They always do. Are you going to go hotter and say 12-0 and win the East? And
no. I would almost say it's a hotter take to say that Kentucky would finish 11-1 over saying there's a 0% chance of beating Georgia, honestly.
Ooh.
I don't see any way that they go 11-1.
Ooh, just shoot me down over here.
That's not happening. I mean, there's too many questions, and they would have to be – you would have to be really, really good to go 11-1 this year. And I think they're going to be good. But no, I would say there's a better chance they beat Georgia than they finish with 11 wins. Wow. And obviously I get the logic would be flipped. You'd say, oh, well, if you think they can beat Georgia, then why don't you think they can beat anybody? And SEC schedule is very difficult to work through, play your best.
Course of it.
Yeah. To play every single week, the best. I mean, let's be real, guys. Like, this team is like a couple of major injuries away. And I don't know any team, you could say this for any team, but like if Rodriguez gets hurt, if Levis gets hurt, like you're just trying to get back to 7 wins or whatever. So I don't think they have the kind of depth to sustain that type of special season.
And that's a good point, because you got to look at it. You put it together for 4 quarters against a Georgia team that maybe something goes wrong with their roster, like those things that you just mentioned, maybe an injury. But then you got to do it over the course of 12 games. It's easier to do it in one day than it is to do it over 12 weeks.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would say that's probably – besides that, I don't have any, like – crazy hot takes, I don't think. I mean, that's probably what I would say. I mean, 10, I think 10 wins is pushing it. But again, like, I can see the logic behind it. But it, like you said, I mean, I just don't want people to get carried away. I think 11-1 is getting carried away for sure.
Do you think 10-2 is carried away? Or do you think that
it's getting, I think it's getting close, but I can understand the logic behind it.
9-3 is not, though, is it?
I think 9-3 is fine. Yeah. I mean, that's what I picked. That's what I ended up picking. Like, I think,
what if after a month we look at this thing again, do you start to see, like, we see how Levis is, we see how Kentucky's offense.
Yeah, I mean, it always changes. It's always fluid. Like, I
could look and it'd be 4-8, right? I mean, depending on what happens.
Well, I think we to me, know 9 wins
next week.
Yeah. I think I picked around 8 and 9 because I felt like it gave you the benefit of the doubt against the teams that they should beat without going overboard. To get to like even 10 wins, you're going to have to beat a Missouri team that I would say, I think Kentucky is better than, but I'm not saying it's significant. Like, I think I'm going to guess everyone who covers Missouri is probably going to pick Missouri to win that game. Haven't beat Mississippi State and Starkville in a long time. I don't think that's just a gimme game. And then you would have to beat both Florida and LSU. I mean, that you're really on the high end side if you think that they can do all those things. That's just my opinion. This is like the last day. Well, after tomorrow, I think people will still be really pleased. But, like, we're getting in close to reality range. So, like, this is the last time of the year you can, like, really throw out all your hopes and dreams, I feel like, without it getting too crazy.
Now we're moving in.
Am I going to come off as negative because of this? Like,
that's why people love this show. That's why people love this show. We tell it like it is.
I try.
And nobody tells it like it is more than you. Like, you just straight up tell it. And no, that's a good thing though. Like, you throw the journalist hat on and you pump the brakes. And that's a good thing. You have me over here going, oh, if they beat Florida and then if they come back and beat LSU, they're going 11-1. No. I mean, obviously, Derek, if they're 4-0 and they go into that Florida game and they find a way to get it, then you can start to think, okay, wait a second. But a lot of things have to happen before that, which now gets us into the DMs. This mailbag's not deep, but we're going to pick our games and stuff in the SEC and our predictions. We want people to join in on that. This is from Colby, first time in the mailbag. Just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job, and I've listened since day one. Thank you so much,
Thank
Colby.
You. Yeah.
Gets better every week. I think we already know the answer to his question, too. He sent this in on Sunday. With Joey Gatewood getting immediate eligibility and assuming he starts, who has the better season, him or Terry Wilson? Well, Terry Wilson went off last night.
He did somewhat. I think he cooled off a little bit. He had a good first half. He won by 10. I looked at his numbers last time, but I think he started like, what, 10 for 10 passing? Yeah. They were playing an FCS school. Houston Baptist is FCS, right? I feel like I've heard of them before, though. Maybe they have a good baseball team. I definitely heard of Houston Baptist before. So UCF played last night as well. I'm pretty sure Gatewood did not play, right? And they still have a starting quarterback, Dylan Gabriel. He's been down there for a few years. Pretty good quarterback, too. They ended up winning last night. They beat Boise State.
Big comeback.
I think Terry's definitely have a better year just because I'm not even sure Gatewood's going to play. So, Terry, good start. My brother texted me about Terry, asking if I'd seen how he started. He came on the show last year. I thought he always represented UK incredibly well. And I don't think there's anybody out there who doesn't hope nothing but the best for Terry Wilson.
I agree. I think a lot about Terry. Trying to see here. I think that's it, right? That is it. That's it for the football mailbag. Unless
it's
you
time to predict some stuff then. Yeah.
It's time to predict them. Do you have the games pulled up?
Go to ESPN. I was reading a story yesterday on ESPN on Justin Herbert, which I did not finish. It was a good story. So how you want to do this? You do top 25, SEC.
You want to keep it to SEC this week? Or?
SEC. Yeah. So obviously Tennessee won last night. I don't think there's any doubt we would have picked Tennessee. Bowling Green is very bad.
Actually, do you want to do SEC or do you want to do top 25? Because the SEC is not going to have very many games this week that are worth a dime, right?
They're not, and I guess the games that are worth it will be included in the top 25 anyway. Well, let's just let's start with UK before we get into these others. Let's just throw out a predicted score, Sean, and a game MVP. I don't think there's any doubt we're both going to pick Kentucky. I'm going to say UK wins tomorrow 45.
Ugh, that's what I was going
with. Oh, I don't think ULM's going to score very many points tomorrow. Maybe they get to double digits. I think Kentucky's going to cover this 31, though. I think that's what's up to. Maybe that's tricky. I'm not betting that game, obviously, but that line's 50, probably about where it should be.
50-10 is what I'm going to call it. I'll go Kentucky 50-10. MVP, I'm going to go Chris Rodriguez. I think you're going to get a heavy dose of that.
Yeah, if Terry Bowden was being that blunt about not being able to stop the run, then honestly, if ULM shows no signs of slowing them down on the ground and UK is competent at all passing, they can probably pick their score tomorrow. But I'll go with Rodriguez as well as game MVP. I bet he scores a couple touchdowns, gets over 100 yards. But I think he might need to break off a big run to get there, because I think they're going to use him just enough to – I think you're going to see a much bigger dose of him week two against Missouri. So let's hit that top 25, though.
Is there a way to pull up just the top 25 games?
There is on the app.
Because I'm trying.
But I'm on the computer.
Okay. Because I'm trying to find that. Oh, there it is. Perfect. Derek, let's start with number 19, Penn State, versus number 12, Wisconsin. So you got some Big Ten action right here in week one. We saw that last night, and that continues throughout the weekend. And it looks like Wisconsin at this point is a 5.5-point favorite.
I'm gonna take Wisconsin here. I'm gonna take the Badgers.
I'm taking Wisconsin too. Are we going to pick it straight up winners, or we're going to pick up cover and spread? Just want to do winners. I say we just.
I'm going to say, yeah, it's fine. Badgers win.
Badgers win. All right. Number one, Alabama versus number 14, Miami. That's the Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Alabama is a 19.5-point favorite. I think Alabama definitely wins.
Yeah. Roll Tide. Now, although, man, what a shakeup that'd be to start the college football season, though, if Miami beat Alabama to start the year.
And now you got Indiana, number 17, versus number 18, Iowa. Another Big Ten matchup. Iowa, 4-point favorite at home.
I'll take Indiana.
I'll go Iowa. I'll go the Hawkeyes.
That's an interesting game. Over under, only 46 points.
Number 23.
Expecting a low scoring game.
Number 23, Louisiana, versus number 21, Texas. Texas is a 9-point favorite. I'm going upset here. I'm going Louisiana.
I'm going to take Texas.
And then we got a big one here. This is the big, big one. This was the one that whoever wins it, Derek, is, I'm going to go ahead and say, is in the college football playoff. Georgia would definitely have to win out. I think it's harder for Georgia to win out than it is for Clemson to win out.
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia is a 3-point underdog. I'm picking Georgia to win this game. I think Kirby knows how important it is to get this win, and they're in the college football playoff, even if they don't win the SEC championship, if they win this game.
Yeah, this is a tough one to pick too, because it sounds like both these teams like have some COVID issues that people don't necessarily know who's going to be out at this point. This game is in Charlotte, same stadium that Kentucky won the Belk Bowl in a couple years ago. I can't stray from my title pick, right? I got to take Georgia here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you have to take them. And I just think it's a massive game. And then staying in the SEC, number 16 LSU versus UCLA. LSU is a 2.5-point favorite. Derek, I'm going UCLA in this one.
Yeah.
I already put this in. I already put a parlay in for this one, actually, for UCLA.
Man, it's tough because LSU, you know, got displaced with the hurricane. They've been in Houston. They flew out to UCLA, I think, yesterday. Is that what Ryan Leaf said? Did he say they're flying? I don't know. I feel like I maybe heard, no, maybe on SEC Network I heard that, but I think they're already out there. UCLA looked pretty good for first game, but I think I'll take LSU here. So we've got a couple of different picks.
That's one of the most intriguing games in week one, though.
It is. 8:30. Yeah, that'd be a good game. It's too bad that it's going to be going on the same time as Georgia and Clemson, but this will be a good one to flip over to.
And you add in on Sunday, number 9 Notre Dame versus Florida State. Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite. I think Notre Dame gets the win there.
Yeah, I think that line seems a little low to me. I'll take Notre Dame as well. Well, they are on the road, and Florida State should be better this year, but I still think that roster's – you want to pick Louisville and Ole Miss?
Yes.
Not a top 25 matchup, but it's the only game, though,
give Monday Louisville, night. Give Louisville any chance there, or is Matt Corral –
No, I don't think they have a chance, but I take Ole Miss.
Yeah, I'm going to go Ole Miss as well. I have to. I drafted Matt Corral in our fantasy league, so I got to go with Matt Corral and the Ole Miss Rebels in that one. So you all that listen to Kentucky Daily, send us your picks. Give us your picks. Jot them down. Tweet them at us, and let's see how you all do. So if you have until get them in before Kentucky starts tomorrow at noon. And we're not doing any prizes right now, but maybe, Derek, that's something if we get a partner or something here this football season, we find a way to do something like that, maybe some giveaways or something like that we'll look into as we move throughout football season. But short football mailbag, I expect that to change going into – well, it'll be post-Missouri when our next mailbag is. So I expect that to change. I expect the football mailbags to be heavy moving forward. Until then, he's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.